making adjustments, appropriations, very, very last session. And thank you so much, you know, for having made sure that we come to this stage of our consultation on the appropriation adjustment bill. Well, the focus on the department is on the additional 800 million to the school infrastructure backlogs grant for the eradicating of all the inappropriate school infrastructures and backlogs in basic services. Whereas this department would agree, this grant has had a history of underspending and underperformance since its introduction in 2011. The other focus is on the education infrastructure grant to the value of 175.8 million. This has been a specifically and exclusively appropriated grant or amount. Now, in principle, the committee supports efforts to improve quality education, and the NDP sets out that every child deserves quality education, including proper schools infrastructure. However, an additional allocation for this important initiative must be based on an understanding that the department has sufficient capacity and appropriate plans for effective and efficient and economic spending and delivery. It is against this reasoning that the committee invited the Department of Basic Education to motivate for the approval of the additional allocation of 800 million and the 175.8 million. The department will therefore take us through the presentation. Just to fill us in with their state of readiness to receive this money and also to make sure that there are plans and there will be actual implementation without surrendering this budget back to National Treasury. Thank you very much. I will then request the Honourable Minister to just give us his department's overview. Over to you, Honourable Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Let me also thank members of the committee for giving us this opportunity to come and brief you on the adjustments that we have received, which we had requested in any case from Treasury. I don't want to take your time, Chair, because the DG, I have the DG here, and then I have the DDG, Finance, and also the Chief Director responsible for infrastructure, because the bulk of the money is going to infrastructure. So the DG will make the presentations, but want to say, as a department, we were very happy when Treasury was able to return the money it had reduced from education. Because in the previous years, there was a number of problems, including challenges by service providers, especially in the Eastern Cape, with this, I don't know whether it's a radical economic... process, our service providers were stopped with ongoing court actions with them, so which highly affected our ability to deliver. By the time we unblocked the blockages, government had taken money from the budget of basic education with the undertaking that as soon as we get our house in order, they will return the money. So our understanding, the 800 million is the return of the money that had been removed from the basic education budget, which has created, because by the time they removed money, most of the projects were already in the pipeline. So it created a very serious problems where we were risking sites being abandoned, us being unable to pay service providers. But I think the DG will explain that. The other fund that we're excited about, Chair, as you correctly said, it's around your dignity packs. It's something that we've been, as a nation, we have been lobbying for, and we're very happy that we'll be working with provinces to make sure that we have a common approach to this program, because other provinces had already initiated their programs. And now that there's a national fund, we're working with MECs to make sure that we approach the process similarly and use at least a common framework. And the last amount of money that we were allocated in addition to the infrastructure is also for your storm damage schools, and that is a huge problem that has been facing your KZN, Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, where schools are always attacked by tornado. So it's programs that were stuck because we didn't have money, but it's not money that is not is going is fresh money going to areas where we don't know where it's going to. But I really don't want to do the presentation from here, but just to simply thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity to come and make the presentations to yourselves. So, DG, over to you, so that we don't take too much time for the of the committee.
Honourable Chair, honourable members, honourable Minister, honourable Chair, the presentation, in fact, the instructions to the presentation were very clear. We had to respond to four bullets that are indicated in the letter. We've structured the presentation according to the four bullets in the letter, so without any waste of time, I'm just going to run through the presentation. This is the presentation outline. The first point, it's about the readiness to effectively and efficiently spend the additional allocation of 800 million, as indicated by the Honourable Chair. The second point is around vehemence, and I must indicate, Chair, that we don't have any vehemence to be made by Parliament, so we don't have any information in that respect. The same applies to Bullet 3, and then the last bullet was about budget versus expenditure to date, and explanation of the material variances, which we will cover as well. I've jumped the third bullet, which is about non-performance information, which is also included in the presentation. Chair, we start by just sharing a few pictures of the projects that are on the ground. To remind the committee that when Treasury effected budget cuts, 7 billion over the MTEF, starting from the 2018 MTEF. These projects had been approved and they were implemented, they were on the ground, so these are some of the projects that are in there. In the next slide, we simply indicate what was initially allocated, which is 1.4 billion. From the initial about 2.4 billion as indicated earlier on, plus the additional allocation of 800 million, which then takes the total amount to 2.2 billion. And if we minus the expenditure up to the 20th of November, we are, that expenditure less expenditure leaves us with 1.1 billion, and if we include the projected expenditure, we remain with a shortfall of 94 million, as indicated on the slide. And these are some of the projects also that are on the ground, which will be funded through this additional amount of 800 million. Just to add, Chair, that Treasury, together with us, we looked at the figures, we looked at the work that has been done. Treasury also went out to the field to look at the projects that are being delivered by contractors. And the 800 million was informed by what is on the ground and what is on path in terms of the expenditure in the current financial year. A brief comparison of the other 2 years compared to the current year. We're just indicating that the expenditure performance, if we look at 16-17, by end of second quarter, we're 13%. Last financial year, although we're able to spend all the money in the last financial year, we spent up to 101% in ASIDI. In education infrastructure grant, we spent 99% in 2017-2018. So by the end of the second quarter, we're at 26%. But this year, end of second quarter, we are at 54%, which is almost double the amount of our expenditure last year. We also just indicate the number of projects that are delivered against those that are completed in there. If we compare even quarter one and quarter two in 2018-2019, far exceeds the performance of the two previous financial years in terms of the actual projects that have been delivered as well. In terms of non-financial performance at the end of second quarter and reasons for remedial measures, Chair, were constrained by the instruction of 12 slides, although we slightly went over. And that's why we have not included all the indicators in the slides, and therefore we just selected a few. And again, the projects that are being carried out there. This is the summary of our performance up to the end of the second quarter. If we compare it with last year and the previous years, in terms of non-financial performance information, we have also improved. Last year, we are around 69%. This year, we are at 79%. That's the comparison there as well. Just to isolate one of the indicators, this one is about paying all invoices within the 30 days. There is a variance, but our performance is around 96% and 98% for the second quarter. And we have given the reasons for the variance there, that it was about capturing at times and not capturing the correct information and therefore reflecting badly in terms of our performance there. In terms of these two indicators, we've also indicated the variance and we are just indicating reasons, but we have been assured by the land functions involved that although at the end of quarter two, this is the performance, this is going to be corrected in quarter three and quarter four. And this line function has been able to do that in the past. If we look at 17-18, they've been able to deliver on all their indicators. So they've never failed to remediate, as they've indicated. And these are some of the projects again. There are more projects, as I indicated, that we are delivering in this financial year than the previous financial years. The reason being, Chair, if we fail to meet our targets for a particular financial year, we don't rework our targets. We add targets of the previous financial year, which were not met, to targets of the year under delivery. So what happens is that in many instances it would even double our targets. That's why our targets seem to be increasing, because they are cumulative. We are of the view that if we fail to perform in this year, it doesn't mean that we forget about what was not done this year. We take it over, we carry it over to the next financial year. This is just the overall performance, and again up to the 20th of November. Overall is at 75.7% before even the end of December. And the reasons are provided in the subsequent slides, because this is economic classification. Compensation of employees slightly below, as we can see. Examination and moderators, we are busy now. Marking has started in some of the provinces and so on. And the examination work will pick up. And the bulk of it happens in the third quarter and a little bit the beginning of the fourth quarter. Transfers to entities, that's why it's quite high. In some entities we've transferred 100%. There is no risk there. The history has indicated that entities are able to spend the money as expected. Other transfers, We've also transferred almost 100%. Conditional grants, we stand at 79%. The performance differs from one province to the other. We have strengthened our monitoring, and I think the performance up to the 20th of November shows that those interventions are beginning to pay off. School infrastructure backlog grant, as I indicated, that's the performance there. And earmarked funds, that's the performance. And departmental operations, again, slightly below 60% up to projects. Projects are the lowest performing area of economic classification, simply because we are starting a new evaluation system which replaces ANA, and it's being piloted in this quarter, which is the third quarter of the financial year, but the last quarter of the academic year. And some of the work will spill over into the fourth quarter of the financial year. We're giving an explanation or reasons for deviation. High spending for public entities due to the three or the fourth annual transfer already done, and other transfers, as I indicated, it's almost 100%. And school infrastructure backlog grant, I've also indicated that if we factor in the projection, we are likely to have an over expenditure of 94 million. I must indicate, Chair, we had requested 1 billion from Treasury, and Treasury, as indicated, then went on the ground with us, looked at the projects, and they said 800 million should be fine. In terms of other projects, I've just explained that there's a new evaluation replacing ANA. We've started with the pilot only beginning of the third quarter. We are hoping that in the fourth quarter and the end of the third quarter, more expenditure will begin to pick up there. These are some of the projects as well, and that's the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, let me thank you for the, I think it's informative presentation, responding to all the issues that, as the Standing Appropriations Committee, wanted clarity on. But I will now open the floor for interrogation of the presentation. Honourable member, you'll be number one. And Honourable Member Snogwanyane too, and Honourable Member Wabaza, three, all right, in that order. And please assist us and be short and to the point. I know some members would like to leave to catch their flights. So, yes, I'll appreciate it. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try to be brief also in my own interest of catching my flight. The first question is related to this appropriations bill, in that I've been asked to request the committee or request the secretariat that we had submitted questions as the DA earlier this week for the attention of the National Treasury and SAA. But and we were told we'd receive those today, but we hadn't. Just to follow up on when we're getting those and what has happened. But more specific questions to the Department of Education itself. I think that you're probably aware of the report this week in the Eastern Cape, which said that 27 contractors walked away from doing the work they were contracted to do at schools because of debt of 104 million rand. And I'd like to ask you, essentially, is the department aware of this? Which type of grant did this relate to, whether it was the school infrastructure grant or the education infrastructure grant, and is this a more persistent problem, as in what caused it? Is this something that's frequent amongst contractors, and if essentially government you know, does supply in terms of the appropriations bill what the department is looking for? Will that address the issue that the department has with contractors? And then there's looking at the 800 million rand that's being asked for. Is it possible to get a breakdown of specifically what that will be used for, as in maybe a percentage or an amount, looking at, say, new schools, water, sanitation, that type of thing, just so we can take a more informed decision? And if it's available stats-wise, the total number of inappropriate structures that remain, and what the estimated cost and completion dates for that would be, but you probably don't have that at your fingertips right now. But I think going forward in the interest of everyone across party lines, I think we'd be interested in delivering to our schools and making them a success. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member Stokwanyane.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you.
Please speak closer to your mic.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, sorry. Thank you to the department for the presentation. I don't really have much, but I would like to just check. I didn't quite get this, understand this slide number six, on slide number six. I was just saying something about 100%, but I was looking at 18 and 20%. I understand those three, but you said something like 100%. I don't know if I heard you well, so I just would like to get a clarity on that. But my question then is, I think one of the questions my colleague has asked about the contractors and all that, but I would like to know this, the schools that you are going to be building now, were they already on the program when you requested? Were they part of your existing program now? Because I know you may be under pressure, like you're saying, that you'll be able to spend the money before the end of the financial year. But also the issue of this allocation, does it cover everything infrastructure? Because we've had situations where you get the top structure, but then you don't have other infrastructure like water and sanitation and things like that. Just to get if this also covers it, so that you are at ease to know that everything is going to be included in those schools. And do you have any other schools that have not been able to complete? That's just for interest. Thank you.
Kobasa?
Chair, there has been a focused attention on the eradication of, almost immediate eradication of the pit latrines where they exist, especially due to the accidents that have been reported with regard to this. How many are these in the country, across the country? These pit latrines still in existence in the schools. By when do you plan to complete that program of eradication? And how much of the 800 million rand is going to be spent, particularly on this area? One would like to know how many schools had the department planned to complete in the current financial year, and to what extent is the target achievable within the financial year. Is there a possibility, that's number three, that part of this 800 million rand could be spent on the cost overruns as a result of delays arising from various factors, and how much of those cost overruns is going to affect the 800 million rand. Chair, let me stop at that for now.
Let me then request the department to respond to the issues raised by the honourable members.
Now, Chair, most of the questions will be taken by officials, but Chair, when we introduced the slides, we said money had been taken from the department for projects which are multi-year, which were already in the system. So most of our infrastructure programs, especially for schools, normally take more than a year. So money was removed in the midstream. That's why we're showing you slides of incomplete schools. So to give you the figures, that the main thing to address those problems of contractors that are not paid, that's why we're saying to Treasury, if we don't get the money desperately, we're going to have sites abandoned. And it creates lots of problems if we don't pay our contractors, because they can't keep staff and they can't keep on sustaining a government. So DG will, because we've been dealing with the Eastern Cape, it's not only the Eastern Cape where we have projects, they will have been also in the Free State, where we're at huge risk of sites being abandoned if we're not getting the money for projects which were already underway because of the cuts that we had. And the agreement with Treasury, when they took money from education, we warned them that some of the projects were already underway, they had been allocated. Then they said, go and continue as soon as you are able to spend at the level that you're supposed to be spending, we will return the money. So this is money which has been taken for projects which were already underway. So I just thought I should clear that one. The other one I want to, I think the officials will talk about, I see there are many schools who are supposed to be doing. When we were launching Safe Chair, we did say that there are more than 3,000 schools that need with pit latrines. And at that time, our cost, the cost that we got from experts was more than 3 billion, so not so that 6.8 billion. So this 800 million, it's not necessarily addressing your pit latrine program, because that one needs 6 billion, which we don't have. And that's why we went fundraising, we are getting corporates to assist us. This is ready to compensate for the money that was removed from the education budget whilst projects were already underway. So I thought I should just clarify the chair and leave the other things to officials and say, I say these schools are normally where we have bulk water, they come as part of the norms and standards, water, electricity, and all your specialist rooms. But where there's no bulk services in terms of electricity, we're not able to the goods who are dependent on ESCOM. We can't take, if there's no bulk service in the community, that's why we use other alternative technology. As you can see, the pictures have got all water tanks so that you can harvest rainwater. If there's no bulk service of water, we're not able to do it. So we use alternative like your rain harvesting, your what is the other one? Water technology, yeah? Boreholes, right? Where there's no bulk service. Chair, but let me allow other officials to answer specific questions so that we don't mislead you in terms of figures.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and Honorable Minister. Chair, let me just give the exact figures of the budget cuts, as the Minister indicated. For the year 2018-2019, 2,072,892,000 was taken from education. 2019-2020 is 2,580,639,000, which was taken from education from the baseline of the MTEF. 2020-2021 is 2,738,264,000. All in all, it's 7 billion over the MTEF that I referred to. from ASIDI, and all this money comes from Education Infrastructure Grant, ASIDI, Math Science and Technology Grant, HIV and AIDS, and a program called Second Chance. But the bulk of it comes from ASIDI and Education Infrastructure Grant. So that is the impact of the budget cut. And that's why I said for 18-19, Treasury took approximately 1 billion from ASIDI. And that's why we requested for 1 billion. As the minister said, projects were approved, they were allocated to contractors, and we said to Treasury, these projects are being implemented. And in the course of the financial year, Treasury could see that as we picked up cash flow problems, as soon as we started with the financial year, there were cash flow problems, and I'll speak to this in responding to some of the questions. The report from the Eastern Cape of 27 contractors, together with this team and other members of the team that are in the Eastern Cape as I speak, were in the Eastern Cape on the 16th. We were sent there by the minister as a result of public representatives who would have received complaints from contractors who had not been paid for a protracted period of time. My engagement with our PSU is our project management unit, the implementing agents are your UHA in the Eastern Cape, is DBSA, is IDT, Vola Trust, and the Department of Public Works in the Eastern Cape. We had that meeting there. Over 50 people were there. And we assess the gravity of this challenge. Contractors said to us, for the ASIDI projects, all ASIDI projects, we have no problem. We get paid within 7 days. That's what contractors said. And they said, except for Vola Trust. The reason being that we don't pay Vola Trust in advancing a tranche to them, a tranche payment. We pay them as we receive invoices. We realized that there were delays there, only from Vola Trust. And Vola Trust is only delivering sanitation and water. They don't deliver your big projects such as schools. But for all other implementing agents that I've indicated, they said, no, ASIDI, we have no problem. In fact, they are fighting to get projects from ASIDI. They said, we have problems with the Department of Public Works, which is delivering projects on behalf of the Department of Education, which is your Education Infrastructure Grant. After that meeting that I had with all the role players that I indicated, I requested an urgent meeting with the Superintendent General of the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape to address this problem. He acknowledged that they have a cash flow problem, and we undertook with the team to look at the expenditure of the Education Infrastructure Grant. As you would appreciate, Chair and Honorable Members, what we usually do is some provinces are underperforming, others are overperforming. We request for relocating money to provinces that are overperforming or overheating, which is what the team is doing at the moment as part of the adjustment exercise that we are going to do. We are duty-bound to assist the Eastern Cape. There are serious problems of cash flow. But I just wanted to clarify, because even on the radio program, as the Auditor General was speaking yesterday, people refer to ASIDI and say ASIDI is not that affected except from Vola Trust. But we are looking at whether we could do the same with Vola Trust as we do to entities of government. Honorable members know that with entities of government, the risk is almost low. And we need to talk to National Treasury whether they would allow us also to transfer money to Vola Trust so that we obviate the problem of waiting for money for too long. It's not only Eastern Cape. Yesterday we were in the Free State. I went to the Free State with the team. Before that we were in Limpopo. We called the same role players. We called them in there, and the response was the same. To all entities that you are transferring money to, we get paid within 7 days, except from Vula Trust, and we are addressing
the problem of Mvula Trust. And Mvula Trust also, to a very large extent, was affected by the cash flow that we experienced beginning of the year. I said to all contractors, to all implementing agents, a cash flow problem is something that is in the annals of our history. We now received 800 million, which is going to be finalized through the adjustment period, and we started to make arrangements with National Treasury so that contractors are not affected. I'm going to have these meetings on an ongoing basis with all those role players to make sure that we don't have these glitches anymore. Chair, then the issue of the breakdown of the projects to reflect where the 800 million is allocated and completion dates of projects, we don't have that offhand, but I'm sure Mr. Mafuku can just shed some light, but we are more than happy to forward that information to your Honorable Committee Chair. Honorable Senokwanyan, I'm sorry that I created this confusion. I just referred to the year 2017-2018 to say that in a city we spent 101%. We spent all the money that was allocated. I'm sorry that I created that confusion. Yeah, I'm sorry. That applies to education infrastructure grant. Our expenditure was 99% there. We used to underperform, as the chair correctly pointed out. The history of a city has been such that we're underperforming. I've shown that in the slides as well. As you compare second and first quarter of the two last financial years, you compare them with this one, they attest to that. And then the were schools part of the program? Yes, indeed. As I explained, we did tell Treasury that as you take away this money, please know that these projects are being implemented by implementing agents and contractors. And that's why Treasury was able to support us for the 800 million. Does the allocation cover everything? As we indicated, we're projecting an over expenditure of 94 million, which means we had requested 1 billion. And Treasury said, no, no, we'll give you 800 million. That's what usually happens. You request for this figure, they do their own assessment, they say, no, no, we think this amount should be enough for the work that you need to complete. Do we have schools that haven't been completed? It depends on the size of the project, then we can provide that information in detail. If it's a smaller school, it can be completed in 12 months. If it's a big project, it's a multi-year project, half of it will be done this year, the other half will be completed the next year. If there are no disturbances, if there are no fights like we're beginning to see in the Eastern Cape, where contractors who are coming from outside the Eastern Cape are now being pushed out of sight because contractors in the Eastern Cape are saying, you either give us 60% or 70% to subcontract under you, and we are resolving those problems, and that's why some of the team members are in the Eastern Cape today to try and resolve all of those things. Honorable Kavaza, how many pit latrines are in existence? The minister responded to that, but Mr. Mafuku will give you the exact figures. We have those exact figures with us. And then the same applies to where are the pit latrines part of the 800 million? The indication is that, as the minister said, they are not part of that. It's a separate project of sanitation which involves pit latrines. The total amount is 6.8 billion, as we indicated. We have money from donors. We also, donors who came through when the president launched the project, we also have money that comes from other donors who keep coming to work with us. But the total projected expenditure was 6.8 billion. I'll request Mr. Mafuku just to help me with the last two questions, please.
Thank you, Chair. The last two questions from Honorable Kavaza was how many have we targeted to complete in the current financial year. I hope I captured it correctly. The target in the current financial year in terms of inappropriate structures is 50, As at the end of the second quarter, we had completed 16 of the 50 that was targeted to be completed in the current financial year. And with regards to sanitation, we had targeted to complete 237 projects in the current financial year. 111 of those have already been completed. With regards to water, 262 was targeted to be completed in the current financial year. 114 has been completed in the current financial year. Is there a possibility that will be used for cost overruns? Chair, no. To date, we do not have any cost overruns as a result of cash flow issues. So, as indicated in the presentation that DG just made, we have already moved into the 800, even if it's not yet appropriated. However, we have not yet had any cost overruns as a result of non-payment and as such. So we are on target. DG, if you agree, I can just address one question from Ms. Nokonyane around, are there other schools that are not completed? The answer to that, Honourable Member, is yes. As a result of the budget cut that DG did indicate, to give an example, we do have 32 schools in the Eastern Cape that were as a result of the merger and closure rationalization exercise, and those are mega schools. We did not stop those schools as per the instruction of the minister. We continued with the design process and all that, but we have not appointed contractors to start schools as a result of the shortage of funding, as a result of the cuts that we had. Those schools are ready to be implemented, but unfortunately, even the 800 million would not address those schools that are still to be implemented.
Okay, honourable members, do you have follow-up questions? Honourable Member Kwabasa?
Just on the targeted 50 schools for this financial year. You say you've completed 16. Are you likely to complete the remainder by the 31st of March in your assessment? Secondly, earlier on you emphasize the point that you had requested 1 billion rand and National Treasury did their own assessment and said no, you actually need 800 million. Did they share with you their assessment, which tells them that what you are asking for is beyond what is possible to achieve with 8 million rand? Because that suggests that if they say so, I hope National Treasury is here. They are suggesting that you have overstated your cost. And now force you to overspent by this 94.6 million rand. So if you could share with us that kind of... Yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Kwabasa. Let me start with the last question. To be quite honest, they didn't share with us the assessment. In my experience in the public service, you do your assessment, you forward your request to either national or provincial treasuries. I don't remember in any instance where they would give you what you exactly need. What they would do, they would give you far less than what you need and say you have to look around and find ways of meeting the shortfall of the difference of what you requested and what we gave you. So that's what they usually do. They haven't given us any reason, nor did they share with us the outcomes of their own assessment. In terms of the 50 targeted schools vis-a-vis 16 schools, I'm sure Mr. Mofuge, the head of infrastructure, can just tell us whether the 34 would still be completed within this financial year. If you allow me, the chair, just to request him to share that information.
Chair, thank you very much. Indeed, we are on target to complete the 54 schools. I would just give an indication. I mean, 34, sorry. We do have actually 100 schools that are currently at construction. Now, out of the 100 that are at construction, 20 of those are at more than 75%. 16 of those are at more than 60%, and you've got 64 that are at between 25 and 50%. Now, within those that are at between 20 and 50%, you've got 40 schools that are what we refer as modular structures, where we use alternative technology. And those, we expect that they will be completed. In fact, the target is that about half of those will be completed by the end of the calendar year when we close. So we are actually looking at even exceeding the target of 50 in the current financial year, everything being encouraged.
All right.
Mr.
Mofuge, I just want clarity on the 175.8 post-disaster rehabilitation budget for the 87 schools in KZN and the 22 schools in Western Cape. Is it Western Cape or Eastern Cape? Western Cape, yes. Because I kept hearing Eastern Cape, I didn't hear Western Cape. Okay, Western Cape. Now, how are you going to ensure that these provinces use this money effectively and efficiently? But also, do you have a monitoring, very strong monitoring and evaluation unit that will monitor and ensure that this allocation is used within this financial year, or else, as you would know, it will be registered as a saving and then taken back again through the budget cut process. But also, I would like to... Okay, the other observations that we're making here is that the 800 million is not new money. It is money that was taken through the budget cut process, and now it has been applied for and it has now been reallocated. So I know the criteria used in the budget process. They take money that has not been used. Yeah? So how are you going to ensure that you do not lose another budget due to your financial poor performance to National Treasury? Because I doubt if they'll be able to respond in this manner for the second time around. So what are you going to, you know, to do to make sure that you don't lose your budget through the budget cut process? Well, the DP, you have said that some of the slow delivery of infrastructure has been due to underperforming service providers. Now, what I would like to know is whether there has been any consequence management of these service or on these service providers, such as invoking the penalty clause, blacklisting, or added to National Treasury's list of restricted suppliers. If not, why? Again, when does the department think it will be complete? It will complete its work so that schools are in line with the national norms and standards for schools infrastructure. Will it meet the 2020 deadline? But also, to mention that observations are that I know that we tried to confine ourselves on the second quarter expenditure, né? But we see that your figures are actually misleading. You're also including your November expenditure in your, yeah. So I'm trying to say if we can try and be honest with our figures. Yes, we did talk second quarter, but now you've given us more than that. And it creates an impression that in the second quarter you have achieved, you know, your targets. All right. All right, if you may respond.
Thank you very much. Maybe let me start with the last question of the chair, if it's fine. Whether we'll be able to meet the target of the norms and standards for school facilities or infrastructure. We are doing ongoing assessment of where the 9 provinces are. And my last interaction with the report that was done was that we're very close in many provinces to meet the target of norms and standards for school infrastructure. And I'm sure that we could also share that information with your committee, just to see how far we have gone in that respect. Consequence management, we have reviewed the memorandum of agreement with implementing agents, and we have strengthened the provision that deals with penalties. We have seen many implementing agents affecting consequence management. The only challenge is that when contractors are put on terms and they are terminated, many of them would go on a legal process of challenging that. And that in itself delays the delivery of the project. Because until the legal process is concluded, then you cannot hand over the project to a new contractor. We have seen that especially in 2016-17 and a bit of that spilling over to 2017 and 2018. Projects were we went to the extent of even taking more than 20 projects from IDT. And IDT is an implementing agent, which is an entity of government reporting to Public Works. We took more than 20 projects, we reallocated them to DBSA, we reallocated them to Kuha and Mvula Trust, some of them. It took its own life. In some instances, it would take more than 12 months because you have to finalize that legal process, you know, have a session agreement signed to agree that you are taking over this project from this level. The rest you are responsible for. We are only take responsibility over this. So consequence management has been effected, but it had its own effects, as I've indicated. The 176 million point eight, indeed, it goes to KZN, which experienced the largest number of storm damaged schools, as the minister indicated. We are working with KZN to make sure that that money is spent. Chair, you'll recall that in the year 17-18 were allocated an amount that is very close to that 170 something million. I can't remember, to Limpopo. We worked with the Limpopo Education Department. We're able to spend that money. So we use that experience also in working with KZN. The bulk of it goes to KZN, and a bit will go towards the Western Cape, just to deal with storm damaged schools. These are not projects that are very long. It's about repairing schools. We should be able to get this money utilized within the financial year. We have ongoing reporting at the level of the Council of Education Ministers, at the level of provincial heads, together with us from the Department of Basic Education. There's a HEDCOM subcommittee, and there's an infrastructure unit in the department which monitors the delivery of projects and works with provinces on an ongoing basis. And based on that, I can say that we should be able to spend this money, which is allocated for KZN and Western Cape. Mr. Mafuku would like to add something, Chair, if you allow.
Actually, Chair, on the money that has been allocated for disasters to KZN and Eastern Cape, Chair, remember that these disasters actually happened in the last financial year. So because when schools get damaged like that, you do not wait. Work has already been done in many of those schools. In actual fact, the majority of this money would be to reimburse the province for work that has already been done. So in actual fact, we already have reports for work that has been done in those schools that were affected in the two provinces. There are, especially in KZN, schools that were seriously affected. I remember Collingwood is one of them, where construction is still going on to rehabilitate that school. But in instances where the damages were minor, we had to take Rob Peter in some projects to pay Paul in order to make sure that schooling goes on. I just wanted to add to that.
Just to explain. No, Chair, I fully agree with your observation. We have no choice but to keep to the principles of the PFMA. Chair, just to say that we thought that we're trying to be a bit proactive. I'm sorry if we have created problems by updating information up to the 20th of November. We've put it out. We didn't hide it. It's in the slides. Every slide where we talk about the financials, we indicate as at the 20th of November, because we were trying to anticipate the question of saying this is it's up to the end of the second quarter. What about, you know, now? What is the situation now? We're trying to bring the expenditure as forward and as close as possible, and that's the only reason. Thank you, Chair.
And today, that's a very, very hot issue, because children continue to die in the toilets. So I'd like to know, what have you planned to at least address this? It's a problem that government should respond to. And it's in terms of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa that says we've got to be responsive to the needs of the people. So I'll hand over maybe to the Minister.
No, Chair, I think one school without proper sanitation is one too many. But we have 27,000 schools, and we're saying 24,000 schools have proper sanitation. We have this 3,000 that is still outstanding.
It's not 4, it's 3,
no? So, no, it's 3,900 and something.
Oh.
Yeah. It's 3,898, so it's almost 4,000. Out of the 27,000 schools. So I thought I should just put it in perspective. That, yes, it is a big percentage. It's more than 10% of our schools. And it means that over the years we've been working on the program, what has made it urgent indeed is the two deaths of children in the school latrines, and that's what has made it urgent. But we've been, throughout the years, we've had the resources from ACD working on eradicating them. So it's not as if there was no program to do it. But what we've been asked to is to do, because of these deaths, to fast track it. So we've requested provinces, for instance, to put forward so that in their infrastructure plans, they should get environment and put sanitation ahead and do other projects later. So that's one of the strategies we have, because there's no fresh money, but there's fresh pressure. We have gone out to seek partners, and we've been very privileged or very lucky, because I think the president assisted us working with partners, your NECT, to mobilize the private sector to help us. But also within government, as I say, in government, the priority has been to really ask provinces to redirect their resources, because there's no fresh money that has come with the fresh pressure. The other program, especially in your highly affected areas, which is Limpopo, KZN, and the Eastern Cape, some of the schools are schools which are due for measures. So we have said they must fast track that program so that we do close those schools that we have no intentions to run as soon as possible, to reduce the number of schools or toilets that we're supposed to be building. But if you wish us to give, because I mean, I'm really saying these things on top of my head, but if you want us to present a plan, we will do, or maybe if the DG is ready with the information. But it's a program, since the pressure that we got from the instructions that we have to push as fast as possible the eradication of pit latrines. It's a process that with the DM we are constantly engaged to see where we get more money, to get provinces to prioritize, to really get committees sometimes to help. Some committees themselves, I went to a committee in Limpopo, they, as a committee themselves, have built and have really raised technology. So we're using different methods, because we have this pressure, but we don't have the budget that is fresh to deal with the following. I had hoped, when I heard that the 800 million, I thought it was going to go to a sanitation. Officer says, no, it's replacing the money that we lost. And so it's no fresh money, but a fresh pressure and fresh money. But we have different ways through which we are targeting. To say will be done, I don't know where Mr. Mofu was running away from, that will be done with addressing, have norms and standards in all schools. 2020 is around the corner. I can tell you, surety, Chair, I'm not sure if the state, the country, and the people have this. So you have targets, you have aspirations, you have the budget. As long as there's no budget, you're not going to reach the target. So I doubt that by 2020, the sector would have built labs in townships, staff rooms in townships. There's a major problem in townships also, that we've not been able to do a redress of your apartheid infrastructure. What we have been doing is to, in the main, build new structures because of the huge access into schooling, that there's been huge demands for new infrastructure, rather than being able to use the money that we have to go and do redress. So that by 2020 would have met the norms and standards. I don't think the country and the sector has those resources needed to be able to do that job, which it does need to do as a matter of extreme agents. I'm just being honest here.
Okay, you know, yeah, thank you so much. Then one understands why the NDP will also emphasize on innovation. Where you can, please, you know, find an innovation, but within the parameters of the law. All right. Okay. In closing then, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. We really appreciate. Indeed, when you sit here, you know there's value add in our work, but also you are able to benefit in terms of the critical issues that members raise, so that when you work with your management, you are then able to follow up on those issues and bring a turnaround to these issues. Okay, well, in closing, honorable members, it is unfortunate that National Treasury is not here, because it was going to help us big time, so that also he was going to be given an opportunity to give their side of the story, but now, unfortunately, they left. Nevertheless, we welcome the presentation. It was informative. As I have mentioned in my opening remarks, this committee supports government's efforts to enhance quality education. But our emphasis this time around will be indeed your effective and efficient use of the budget. It doesn't come from me, but also the minister has emphasized that, an improvement in that area. Let me remind you that this ACD grant funds a program called Accelerated Schools Infrastructure Initiative, and this suggests that the replacement of inappropriate schools' access to water and electricity for schools should be completed in the shortest possible time. Accelerated shortest possible time. I'm sure we can agree that we have not been able to achieve the accelerated part of the program. We have observed the improvement in the 2018/19 first and second quarter period. However, the fact that the department has only completed only 16 schools out of a target of 50 schools is a cause for concern. I'm sure you will find a way of at least fast-tracking it in here so that there's good progress come end of the financial year. We all need to put our hands on deck to address the backlog on education infrastructure. Education is part of the rights which are enshrined in the Constitution. Thank you very much. I think the meeting between ourselves is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.